I was gonna finish what I started last week, but I may not get there today. Some other thoughts come to mind. And I kind of touched on them at the beginning. But you know, this time of year, they're all making a big deal out of Yankee Memorial Day. And I got to thinking about that, and I read it on a little bit. And I got to, you know, I got to where I always say Yankee Memorial Day. But I wasn't the first one. Our southern ancestors are the ones who first started calling it Yankee Memorial Day. And they did that because our southern ancestors, the Confederate women, are the ones who originated the original Memorial Day in this country. In 1866, Confederate women in Columbus, Georgia, on April the 25th, they went out and they decorated the graves of the Confederate soldiers that were in the cemetery there. And out of the bigness of their hearts, they also decorated the graves of some of the Union soldiers that were there. And that was the first marked Memorial Day in the U.S. And subsequently, it was stolen by the Yankees, like they do everything else. And in 1868, 2 years later, the general of the Grand Army of the Republic, which is the same as used to be the United Confederate Veterans for the Confederacy, the Grand Army of the Republic was the veterans organization. In 1868, he declared, during our occupation and reconstruction, a Memorial Day for the Union soldiers. And it was just for the Union soldiers. And it was at that time that our southern ancestors started calling that Yankee Memorial Day. And, you know, when we acknowledge Memorial Day, we call it Confederate Memorial Day. I'm less and less inclined to do that. Sometimes we have to, I guess, to explain to folks. But ours is the Memorial Day, and theirs is the one that was appropriated by alien forces. GAR commander in 1866, when he observed the Confederate Memorial Days, before he had started one, said this. He said, "Traitors in the South have their gatherings day after day to strew garlands upon the graves of rebel soldiers." So they didn't much think much of us then either. No, they don't. And I don't want to be taken wrong. I mourn the losses that have come to this, from the various wars that have been experienced of recent decades. And I mourn those losses, but I don't glorify the empire, and I don't worship the uniform of the empire. I don't believe that they actually fought and died to keep us free. You can look back in virtually every war that America's been involved in has been illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional. And the sad part is, you know, our sons and daughters have been given over to that empire, by and large. And Christian folks applaud that and celebrate that and have great days of uniform worship in their churches. Well, you won't hear this many places, but I think it's needful to be said. And it brought to mind, as I thought on these things some, a passage over in 1 Samuel that I've touched on before. But Samuel was the judge of Israel. And people in Israel said, "We don't like being different. We want to be like everybody. We want a king just like everybody else." And in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 4, says, "Then all the elders gathered themselves together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like other nations. Well, the only king Israel recognized was God. And he was their true judge, even though men were appointed at various times and various circumstances to, you know, to serve in a capacity over Israel. And Samuel was disturbed to hear those things. He knew what it showed about the hearts of the people. And in verse 6, continuing on, he says, But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know, folks are happy to have DC reign over them, but they don't want to hear anything from this book. You know, they're happy to have the empire in Washington, but they want to tear down monuments to the Ten Commandments. They're happy for those things, and they don't want to hear what God has to say. They've so twisted the meanings of the framers, you know, that they use that which was intended to protect religious freedom and liberty as a blunt instrument against it. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to rule over us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should reign over them, according to all the works which they have done, since the day I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. And we have these various times set across where there's almost a worship of the military and encouragement of young people to serve in the uniforms. But folks, the military supports the policies of the United States. The military supports abortion on demand. The military supports sodomy. The military supports transsexuals. Now, when I was in the military, Lord knows I love women, but it was bad enough having to deal with women in the ranks. And by and large, most of them shouldn't have been there, but they were in places, in positions, certainly not in combat positions. But now, throughout the military is required to put sodomites in the military in every role, and to put women in every role. And now they're transitioning to put transsexuals into the military. You want your son to be commanded by a transsexual commander? That's what the military is pushing and promoting. I heard folks the other day when I was out at the range, they were talking about big old tough Mad Dog Madison, what he said to the Arabs and stuff. I said, and I said, your Mad Dog Madison is no mad dog, he's a lapdog. And I said, Lapdog Mattis has told the military that they need to have a plan in place by June the 1st to accept transsexuals fully within the ranks. Have folks in there don't know what they are, commanding the troops. The Lord here said to Israel, they've rejected me. They've rejected that I would rule over them. Other than that's what the U.S. has done. And that's why I'm not embarrassed to say it. It doesn't make everybody happy. But it ain't my flag and it ain't my country. God and his law have been thrown out of the public square. They said, we don't want him to rule over us. We don't want to hear that. Somehow the First Amendment means that there shouldn't be any kind of morality or any kind of Christian influence in government. And that's where we've come to the place where Israel was. Maybe worse. Continues on in verse 9, says, "Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons." That's what's called the military draft. And the circumstances in the U.S. today that, you know, many young folks feel that they're forced into the military because they have no place else to go. "He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots." You know, build a large standing army and a huge bureaucracy. Well, that's what's happened in this nation. That was not what was intended by the framers, if you read the Constitution. They feared a large standing army. But Samuel warned Israel, if you get a king, he's going to make a big old large standing army. And when they get an army, they'll find some use to put it to. And they continued on. Verse 13, "And he will take your daughters to be confectioners and to be cooks and to be bakers." Not just the son, he's going to take your daughters. But brethren, Old Testament Israel, as it rebelled against God, never rebelled as much as America does today, because now America says, "We're going to take your daughters and we're going to draft them into the military just like the men if the time comes." There's already things in place to make women register for the draft, even though there's not a draft now. I realize that. But next time there is a draft, they'll be taking your daughters. They won't make them confectioners and cooks and bakers. No, they'll put them in a frontline combat unit. And so the U.S. has surpassed wicked and rebellious Israel and its own wickedness. Well, that's not it. Oh, so this week, there's a sign on my gate, a little note on my gate, that says, "Oh, I couldn't get in." Well, the gate actually wasn't locked. The lock was unlocked, but it was closed. But maybe the guy read my no trespassing signs and didn't want to come in. I don't know. Just because it said government agents aren't to come in here either. And it said anybody who's found on this premises, you know, will be treated as an intruder. And the owner will take what he considers to be necessary actions and such. Anyway, he left the note. Said I couldn't get in. And so I was just going to ignore it, but Diane thought we should. Of course, she ended up calling. Said, "Okay, you can come tomorrow." It's the property assessor. They come around once every 5 to 10 years, I guess. I don't remember seeing them here, but once ever before. Well, why did I say that? Well, because taxes are theft. And taxation is theft. Taxes are extortion. I mean, the guy seemed like a nice enough guy. But he's a strong arm man for the government. He's an extortioner. And we need to start viewing things in reality. And Samuel repeated the words of the Lord unto Israel, and he said this, "And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants." That's what taxation is. "And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give it to his officers and to his servants. And he would take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. That's what happens when you get a king. He will take the tenth of your sheep. And listen to this, this last. And ye shall be his servants. The state acts as though we belong to them, as though we are their slaves. We do not own ourselves. We do not own our property. You know, they'll draft you. That's saying, you don't own yourself. I own you. They say, well, you may have a deed, but you don't own that house. We do, because if you don't pay our yearly rent, and we call taxes, we'll come take that house. And ye shall be his servants. That definition of slavery is someone who claims our labor and our lives. And that's what the American state has become. And he continues on. And he says, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. You made your bed. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. He warned all these things. It's like today. Not that I'm such a great spokesman or persuasive orator, but I try to tell folks what's going on. And here's what verse 19 says. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. No! Well, I don't care what you're saying. You're just a conspiracy theorist, and you know, you just blow things out of proportion. That won't ever happen here. No, we will have a king over us. And that's by and large today in churches and every place else, whether it's going to be the Indianapolis 500 or there's the World 600, they don't call it that anymore, World 600, I don't know, but there'll be all these great pageantry and worship of the military. That's what it'll all be about. And they do that at most sporting events, and then throughout the year, there's five or six, I don't know how many days, of that just all boil down to military worship. There's Veterans Day, and there's Armed Forces Day, and then there's Flag Day, and then there's Memorial Day. And by and large, churches across the land will sit down and worship the empire's strong arm men. Like I said, I mourn those who have fallen in the empire's war. You know, many of them are victims. When I was in the military, you know, of course, the draft had, I forget when they stopped the draft. They were still drafting when I went in the military, but when I was in the military, I had some draftees in my platoon. When I went in the military, the draftees, or maybe they, no, they stopped it when I was in college, was it? I can't remember. No, that's... The numbers came out when I was in college, and people with high numbers got out, but they were still drafting. But anyway, you know, draftees were kind of looked down upon because, you know, they didn't volunteer. They were the only smart ones. They were the ones that should have been looked up to. They had sense enough not to want to be here, but then the government forced them to. Kind of change in perspective over the years. And then you see the blasphemous, you've maybe seen the signs or the things people send around. I've seen this thing. It makes me sick to my stomach when I see it. It comes from supposed Christians. Only two defining forces have offered to die for you. Jesus Christ and the American soldier. One died for your soul, and the other died for your freedom. That's blasphemy. I mean, that's just blasphemy. And then you just have to ask yourself, are we more free? You know, after they went over to all these Middle East countries, I couldn't even name them all. Are we more free now, or are we less free? Have the intelligence agencies of the U.S. become more domineering over the public? Do we have less freedom of movement or more? How are they dying for my freedom when I'm less free? I often use a phrase. To me, I've coined it. Maybe somebody else had used it before. But I, from one of the old country songs and combining things, I say, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be imperial stormtroopers. And especially true, I try to speak to Christian folk, to Southern folk. Why in the world would any Christian want to join the Empire's imperial stormtroopers? Why would any Southerner want to join the Empire's imperial stormtroopers, which crushed his homeland and his family? And so here again, back, I'll read verse 19 again. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And then verse 21. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go ye every man into his city. They got what they want. And brother, I'm convinced we're at this point in time. It's not like 1860s. We can't just get up and divide and raise up an army. We don't have one to do that with now. But brother, we need to separate ourselves from the empire. We need to wash our hands of it. There's a passage over in Hosea 4, verse 17. Oh, I'm going to set it in context. If you know a little bit of the history of Israel, and there was a division between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom ended up being called the kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And also, they would refer to the northern kingdom from time to time as Ephraim, because Ephraim was the tribe that Jeroboam came from that led the rebellion that caused the split. And it was in that area where they set up false worship, and they set up idols. They set up golden calves like their fathers had done. And by and large, Judah wasn't perfect. But by and large, you know, they adhered more to the truth and to God than the northern kingdoms. They fell completely away into things. Anyway, God told Hosea, and not just telling Hosea, but I think the people of Judah as well. He said this. He said, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him have what he wants. let him go his way. I've become increasingly convinced that, you know, we can't change these politicians. We can't change D.C. We can't fix that mess. But we don't have to be a part of it. We don't have to participate in it. We can wash our hands of it. And that's what I seek to do as best I can. So God said there, Ephraim has joined the idols. Let him alone. Just let him alone. He's gone his own way. He can't be talked to. He can't be fixed. And I think in many ways we've come to those same circumstances. A couple of the passages that came to mind, I'll close with. And kind of a shotgun message today, I realize. But over in 2 Corinthians 6. Really dealing with the matter of idolatry and stuff. Listen, America is idolaters. They're idolaters of the military. They worship the military industrial complex. God said this, Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote to Corinth, said 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's a couple groups I'm in discussion with now. I can't comprehend it. You know, there's one group that the fellas wonder and says, well, it's Memorial Day, and I want to fly my Confederate flag, but I can't figure out if I should fly it above or below or even with my U.S. flag. And I said, throw out the empire's, the flag of tyranny and oppression. You know, just fly that flag. Just fly the flag of your state. But see, Ephraim's joined the idols. Let them alone. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And there's various interpretations to Revelation. I don't claim to understand all that's there, but I know it has some import to us, so we'll have increasing import. I mean, who is Babylon? Well, a lot of indications look, it could be the U.S., and if it's not, at least there's a picture of it. And Revelation 18, verse 3 says this, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And John says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and ye be not partakers of her sins. Didn't say, why don't you all go join the American military? Why don't you all become imperial stormtroopers? I said, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Oh, folks will be lauding the red, white, and blue and all. That represents nothing again, as I said, but abortion and sodomy and transsexuals. This country has gone down the tubes, and yet we say, well, I oppose the government, but I support the government's enforcers. That's insanity. Well, those are just some broken thoughts that came to me today or over the last couple days. And brother, I kind of think it says we're supposed to be different. I'm different. We're different. And we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be apart. And we're not supposed to fit in. And I don't just not fit in just to not fit in. But the Word of God, I think, compels me to do so. And so, here we stand, and I thought it was necessary to share some of those thoughts, and that that we might perhaps take them to heart and think upon them, you know, this week. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn, number 401. Lead Me Gently Home, number 401. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather here. Lord, we thank you for your word that gives us guidance, understanding in these days in which we live. Father, we know that you've placed us all where we are for a time such as this. And I pray, Lord, that we might be that people that you would have us to be. Lord, that you would give us the discernment, the strength, and the courage to stand, even if it needs be that we stand alone. Father, we thank you for the love that you had for your people before the world was. And Lord, for our Savior, for the work of the Spirit, those things that are beyond our comprehension, but all that you've undertaken for your people. I pray, Lord, that by your grace it might be manifest that we indeed are your people. Father, I pray Brother Howell is away from us today. Pray for those that need your healing hand. Pray for sister churches, brothers in the ministry. Lord, I pray that you just might use us throughout the week. Touch others. Be used as your instruments. Lord, thank you again for this fellowship, for those that are gathered here. And thank you most for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.